Nice one. Right, let's go. Coming to you in 3, 2, and 1. Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. By a tree, by a river, there's a hole in the ground. That's not a riddle. It's a health and safety minefield. Coming up on this week's show, new MacBook Airs, new Mac Minis, and new cinema displays. But does it mean the end for the humble white MacBook? OS X Lion is out at $20.99, have you downloaded? And record sales for iPhones and iPads. So what's all this about new ones just around the corner? Away from Apple, HTC's 10-inch tablet makes an appearance at the FCC, while Samsung has said to be going back to 7 inches with a new tab. And it's the last day of public voting for the T3 Awards. Some of the races are extremely close, and so are we. Your humble podcast team for this week with Adam, the boy bunker, and the man who's so close he reads Closer magazine while posing for close-ups with his close friend Michael Starkey, aka Sinbad from Brookside Close. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome. How are we all doing this week?
All right, Dan. Yeah. You don't hear enough Nick Kershaw and Brookside references.
Absolutely.
In popular culture podcasts.
They've kind of faded.
Well, Terry from Brookside was on trial for murder.
Yes, which is nice.
Terry's shot a bouncer, allegedly. He may not have done it. Maybe found not guilty.
Good, showing clear sense of media law there. That's excellent, Duncan.
But he still looks exactly the same as my favourite thing. Big perm, big tash.
Well,
still going, hey.
I think they're all waiting for it to come back, you know.
Brookside.
Yeah.
Never watched a single episode of
Brookside. Them and the cast of El Dorado.
Brookside was fantastic. There was one period in Brookside's history where it just went bonkers, and they had a killer virus swept through the close, and then a killer Waco-style cult moved into the close, and then they decided, oh, this is too ridiculous, and just went back to
was that Hot Fuzz?
Sinbad's been done well, for exactly shoplifting.
Same as happened with Emmerdale, isn't it? They just, like, you know, they go...
Yeah.
One day it's kind of like, oh, there's been some sheep rustling.
Yeah.
The next is a 747 landing in the village.
A 747's just crashed. All the women of the village have turned into lesbians.
Well, makes for an interesting plot twist.
Sped up to the Benny Hill music.
There we go. Anyway, Duncan, your week in 140,
great week, great
140
week.
Characters
week.
Or more.
Vintage week. Yeah. I fulfilled a long-held ambition by saying the word penis on TalkSport.
That is
radio.
A good week.
You see, normally it's just,
doesn't get better than
it's
that.
Just people being a penis on TalkSport.
It's quite right wing, that program. Yeah. I had to listen to it for about 10 minutes before I was on. I'd completely forgotten I'd agreed to do it. And it was about hacking.
Oh, right.
And the only thing I said to them was like, do you have any questions about what we're going to talk about? I was like, no, it's TalkSport, I don't care. But whatever you do, don't ask me how do you go about hacking into a website. Because I'm not going to be even if I could answer that question. No disrespect, your listeners won't understand it, but as it just so happens, I can't answer that question anyway, because I'm just blagging it. And the first fucking question they asked was like, so how do you go about, how do these left-wing subversives go about hacking into News International or whatever?
Well, you've got to be a teenager and spotty, first of all.
Well, I think that's what they wanted me to say, basically.
Yeah. And then they were saying, large screwdriver.
It was going, oh, is it very easy to hack into a website then? And I was like, well, no, obviously it's not, but it's quite easy if you're proficient at that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're really,
in the same
really
way
good
that,
at hacking.
Yeah.
great analysis.
If you're really good at archery, you're probably hitting the middle of an archery target is pretty easy to you for a lay person. I was like, why am I having to explain the concept of specialist knowledge to a radio station that's entirely about being good at sport?
Hmm, good.
So anyway, at the end, it turned out to be the end because they wound proceedings up. I said, essentially, this kind of hacking where you go and deface a homepage is basically the digital equivalent of drawing a penis on a bus stop.
Brilliant. Well, and they stopped it at that point.
Maybe they were intending to stop it anyway.
And then it just went to the test noise.
Oh, well done. Right, to our top story. And stories, really. Apple. Lots of nice
stuff.
Little things happening this week. OS X Lion, I think we've discussed. A no-brainer at $20.99. Or £55 on USB, strangely. It's now out. You can get it.
They don't want you to get that USB.
Adam, have you got it?
I haven't. I didn't. I was out of the house last night and I tried to install it this morning. And
what
I tweeted a few people. I tweeted a few people saying, I've got to leave the house in 20 minutes. How long does it take? Yeah. And T3 editor Luke Beaters said it took him 6 hours overnight to do it. So I've still got to do it when I get
home. Was that the install or the download?
The download and then half an hour to install or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not getting caught out like this again. So no, I haven't downloaded it, and I've got no intention of downloading it until at least a month or so's time. While they iron out, and also while I can find out from forums and things whether my slightly aging machine, which I mean it's about 3 years old, will be able to cope.
Will it fall over? Or,
yeah, because Snow Leopard, I wouldn't go so far as to say as it's knackered my machine, but my machine is not happy running Snow Leopard, and I assume Lion would only make it worse.
Okay. So, not a no-brainer.
Also, I haven't got 20 quid.
Yeah, non-tell payday.
Yeah, there we go. Record sales for iPhones and iPads. We will get on to. Why am I talking about that? Let's talk about the
Stick to the script, Dan. Yeah, try and improvise, it all goes tits up.
You're right. Let's talk about new MacBook Airs, which is slightly more important. i5 and i7 processors.
Yeah.
Ding.
Well.
Backlit keyboard.
Ding.
Backlit chiclet.
Yes. Thunderbolt.
It's not something you get to say very often.
No. And
Thunderbolt?
Yeah.
Oh, a Thunderbolt port. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm psyched about that.
Isn't that the Apple's proprietary port?
Yes, I believe it is.
Yes, I think it is.
T3's Matt Hussey went out at lunch and bought one of the new MacBook Airs, and his exact words were, "I may as well stick some blue tack in the Thunderbolt port for all the things that exist that I'll be able to
just keep paper clips."
Okay, before an £800 monitor.
Before you tweet, we know it's Intel's new thing, and
it's a running joke. Listeners of the podcast will know this is one of our hilarious memes that we return to.
Price wise, 849.
Ill-advisedly, some people would say
849 for the 11-inch with 1.6 GHz i5 dual core, 2 GB of RAM, 64 GB of flash storage. It's a grand if you want to go to 4 GB and 128 GB.
256 GB in all. In the larger one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of weeping now because my now old MacBook Air.
Now we got the classic. We got the MacBook Air classic.
Yeah, it only feels like 5 minutes ago that you and Adam were like. Prancing around, waving your MacBook Airs in the air with, an air of insufferable smugness.
This is it. I was very smug, but now it's like this was more expensive, and it's not as good.
Yeah, it was more expensive.
It just doesn't feel like a long time ago.
No, it really doesn't. Do you know what the only the other thing is for me? I mean, the processor thing is good, but mine never slows down. I've never had an issue in it in that way. True. Admittedly, I'm not like.
Yeah,
building the Matrix at home, but like the backlit keyboard is nice, but again, not a make or break for me, so I'm not that upset.
Yeah, obviously, really, the deal breaker is Thunderbolt.
Oh, of course, I'm gutted about the Thunderbolt. Yeah.
But with the faster processors, you will now be able to play some of the 2 to 3 games that are available for the for Apple.
Oh. What I call a duty.
Call of Duty Volume like Part 2 or whatever it is that you can get on Mac.
Okay,
you can't get Black Ops, can you?
Yeah. It's on the App Store, yeah.
There we are. If you're in the market for a 13-inch, if you're in the market for a 13-inch, £1,099, 1.7 GHz, i5, 4 GB of RAM, 128 flash. That's a very nice setup for £1,100.
I love it when you read the numbers there.
If you want to push it to an i7, you've got to shell out £1,349. But your hard drive's
quite a pricey laptop.
Bigger.
They are pricey, but then compare that to the price of the old models. They start seeming strangely like good value. Yeah. They're not. Compare them to a PC. They're not. But
you know why that is.
Much better value than the old ones.
You do know why that is because you mentioned it in the introduction.
Right.
It's because they've got rid of the MacBook. So the MacBook Air is now the entry point.
Yes, exactly. So they've had to bring them down in price to mop up potential MacBook owners. They haven't officially said this, have they? But it's disappeared from the store. So.
It's obvious. Like, the MacBook was the ugly duckling, the runt.
It didn't look right, did it?
Stepchild.
It was that white
look. It was all a little bit
so
weird. I found it weird because a few years ago, you know, the MacBook looked like the MacBook Airs, looked like the MacBook Pro. It was the anodized aluminium. It might not be. It wasn't unibody, I don't think. But it was still... It had the same style.
Yeah. Mm.
Then they started bringing out the new look MacBook Pros and stuff. And they were like, well... This one's £300 cheaper and they kind of look the same.
We better make it look shitter.
Let's make it look like shit. And kind of that's what they've done. And now they've realised, well, we might as well just... Yeah.
Just can it.
But you're right, they never actually admitted it. They just kind of got rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's admitting anything. I think that was a deliberate phasing out. I think that was a classic Apple managing expectations.
And the perfect accessory for your MacBook Air equipped with Thunderbolt is the new 27-inch Thunderbolt display.
Bargain.
Which would cost you the same, pretty much, as the MacBook Air at $899.
Right.
Can you plug in an external No, that'd be stupid, wouldn't it? I was going to say a CD drive. Because there's still no drive, is there, on the Mac?
You can get, yeah, the USB super drive you can
plug in. That's USB, it's not fundable.
Oh, not yet.
Somehow speeding up your CD by
I appreciate that the cinema displays are really good quality and shiny and nice and stuff, but as a normal human being with, you know, a limited bank account, why wouldn't you just get an iMac? An iMac is the same price and it has a computer in it.
But you can't pick up an iMac and put it in your bag and walk out with it. Well, you can, but you won't.
You can't do that with a 27-inch
cinema display.
No, but you can do it with the MacBook Air.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the price of the actual, just a display is £900.
It's the same price.
So you can have your little Air plug it into the big display. So whilst at home, it effectively is a MacBook. Mm.
Which is what what I do at home in a £200 monitor.
Yeah, true. Well, the thing about Apple monitors, I don't know if it's still the case, but they always used to be people who were like, you know, designers, or a lot of designers, or people who are very sort of visually minded, were always a bit sniffy about Apple's monitors. Like, apparently in terms of colour,
I don't know if that's
reproduction
still the case,
and what have you. No, I don't think they're quite. Mm. I think they're still not seen as being quite top draw. And they have problems with dead pixels.
The Mac Mini, it's getting the i5 chips as well. And guess what?
What?
Thunderbolt.
Good news. Right. What is the Mac Mini for?
Yeah, I don't know anyone who's bought
one. It's for
one.
Plugging into your £899 cinema display. I'm quite tempted at that because they're just so neat. You know, you just
But like what do you do with it? Yeah, it's like a media server or something.
I've still got a desktop at home. You know, in the office. I could do with getting rid of that great big ugly box and replacing it with a Mac Mini.
Things are at my house, my desktop computer is my Mac Air. Mm. Like, I have it plugged in. I know it's more expensive than a Mac Mini, but that extra expense is definitely worth it because then you can take it away with you and actually use it on your lap.
Mm. Yeah, I think the Mini is obviously meant to go in your front room or
bit
something.
Redundant,
like an old.
But then they've got Apple TV for that, so I don't know really what they're aiming at.
Yeah, what the hell are you playing at, Apple? Yeah.
Sort it out, Jesus. Right, last quarter sales. We'll rattle through all this Apple stuff. They're actually pretty phenomenal. iPhone sales up 142%. Now, in case you're not too good on percentages, 100% is doubling. So more than doubled the iPhone sales.
Thanks,
to 20 million. Not everyone gets these things. It's just a number, isn't it? To 20 million. iPad up 183% to more than 9 million. The Mac up not quite so much, 14%, but still that's pretty healthy, to 4 million. Profits up to 4.5 billion, more than doubling. From £2 billion the same time last year, but the but is iPod sales down 30%.
Wow. It's inevitable.
The classic seems to be on the way out, doesn't it? I mean, if you've got an iPhone, why would you buy an iPod?
I'd imagine they'd get rid of iPods entirely within a few years.
It's going. It's going the way of the MacBook.
Well, in September, my kind of bet for that is the classic will definitely go, as a lot of people are saying. Will they just do what they've done with the MacBook and just like forget about it? Or will there be a big sending off given that it's 10 years since the iPod first came out?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, who's buying touches?
They'll put the
it's
iPod
just the
classic.
Whole, I can see the point of the Shuffle.
It's a cheap way
although
into the
Shuffle
App Store,
is the crappiest one. I can see the point. Well, it's not that bloody cheap. I can see the point of the Nano up to a point, but then the Classic, well, actually, the Classic has the most point of all because it's got the biggest capacity. And
They'll keep the Touch and up the storage.
Who is buying a Touch and why?
Tweet us now.
Yeah. I'd love to know. I mean, it's a nice thing, don't get me wrong. But
okay. They have, though, predicted a slight drop in profits. But this has sparked the rumour mill all again. So this is...
Just 15 quintillion squillion.
So this is Apple's chief financial officer, as you know, Peter Oppenheimer. His excuse for the fact that he thinks profit's going to drop, he says, a lot going on in the fall with iOS 5 and iCloud, adding a future product transition that we will not talk about today will have an impact on the next quarter sales figures. Read between the lines, stick an IE, and it's the iPhone 5, isn't it, basically?
Well, you're saying people will stop buying iPhone 4s in anticipation of the
that's
iPhone
That's what happens. As soon as people know that a new one's right around the corner, they stop buying, don't they?
Yeah.
They have to draw down their inventories.
I struggle to really, you know, shed a tear for them when their profits are, what, £4.5 billion profit? That's walking around, man.
Yeah, he's talking to shareholders there. They need to know these things. But more importantly for us, it is a strong suggestion of the iPhone 5 coming on the way. Boy Genius report is claiming there's going to be three iPhones.
Hmm.
It says the iPhone 5, we will get new form factor, 8-megapixel camera, 1080p full HD, and a larger HD display.
Yeah.
The current iPhone 4 will stay, and there'll be a budget iPhone based on the old 3GS, so a bit of a rejig of that.
That's very clever of him to say that, because that's what everybody has been saying for the last 3 months. I say him, Boy Genius isn't just one person.
It's not just one person.
I struggle to find, to think that that will happen. Because for me, the thing that Apple have always been about is they don't make an absolute raft of products. They just do one thing, and it's like, this is the thing that you buy.
That
like,
is true, but if you look at, you know, having to compete with Android, that is exactly what Android has, except it's more than three. It's you know, a gazillion different ones. It has budget ones. You have high-end ones, and you have your middle-of-the-line.
But Apple's never really been about budget, is it? It's kind of...
Well, it hasn't, but that's why it's losing share to BlackBerry, especially in the States at the low end, and to Android, you know, because they offer something for everyone. And the iPhone is just one product, and it's an expensive one at that. If they can come up with three different products, they cover all three sectors of the market, they could mop up here.
I suppose so. I guess anybody who's actually bought a 3GS in the last year since it became the cheap model, like cheap, quote-unquote, if now suddenly it turns out you can make an incredibly cheap phone from the components of the 3GS, that sort of...
Yeah, because it's not that cheap.
That raises some fun questions about Apple's sort of pricing policy.
I would imagine...
I guess if like all the components are old enough and the real economies of scale kick in... I don't know, this conversation is so boring, I can't really...
You can't...
Why would they bring out an iPhone 5 that's a different form factor... and has a bigger screen? That's the, to be honest, that's the thing that rings the least true.
Yeah, I definitely have never got in line with this bigger screen malarkey, because I think they will take the point of view of, no, we've determined from day one that this is the perfect mobile phone screen size. You don't need a bigger one, you don't need a smaller one, this is the screen size.
Why would you?
In a very Apple kind of way. And also, surely if they start mucking around with the dimensions, they'll have to recode apps and what have you.
Could muck everything up.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They sort of invented the modern smartphone in its kind of form. They've stuck with it all the way through.
Yeah.
I don't see... I mean, some people who are into Android say, well, some Android phones have bigger screens. But I don't...
So you're stating here and now they won't be a larger screen.
Oh, no, I'm prepared to be wrong, but I...
No, I'll say that here and now.
Excellent, right.
I can imagine it might have a slightly better camera and do full HD.
I've noted the time. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if Duncan's right. Anyway, there's plenty more where that came from. So let me say... Here is the news! Samsung's recently rumoured second generation 7-inch Galaxy Tab looks like it'll be officially unveiled at IFA this September, sporting a 1280 by 800p screen. The latest info suggests it'll get honeycomb, making it the most spanking 7-incher on the market.
Meanwhile, HTC is going in the opposite direction and readying its first 10-inch tablet. Blueprints for the Puccini have surfaced at the FCC, showing, among other things, a flash alongside the rear camera.
Ooh.
As they await US approval ahead of a highly anticipated IFA launch in September.
Worth waiting for. O2 has launched location-based Priority Moments. Using GPS, it provides tailor-made offers based on where users are, and O2 reckons it can save customers up to £105 a month with tasty coupons. Still confused? Just think of it as Groupon meets stalking.
Or Foursquare. Just think of it as a complete rip-off of Foursquare.
Yeah.
I'm in a very cynical mood this week. Sorry,
blimey.
Netflix looks as if it could be finally making its way to the UK to give Love Film a run for its money. That's according to sources speaking with Hollywood Bible Variety. It's expected here early next year, despite Britain being left off its officially announced extension plans. Expansion plans,
but extension's good. Call of Duty fans, prepare to be fleeced for cash. With Modern Warfare 3 due in November, UK distributor LIGO has formally unveiled a series of Turtle Beach Air Force Modern Warfare 3, well, that doesn't make sense, headsets. The four sets designed to offer the ultimate immersion will set you back between £90 and £250.
And if you're ready for your close-up, the team at EA reckon photorealistic gaming will soon be within reach. Speaking in the same week, AMD suggested next-gen consoles will feature graphics reminiscent of Avatar. FIFA's chief of development, David Rutter, the current... FIFA's chief of development, David Rutter, said the current believability challenges could be a thing of the past.
What a great phrase. Believability challenges.
I like the way it kind of goes on in the, if you read that entire news post on T3, and it just says, from a distance, FIFA looks real. From a distance.
Squinting from behind your sofa.
When you're across the street, looking in the window of Dixon's.
Wayne Rooney looks just as ugly.
The thing about FIFA is, It doesn't look realistic because the way the players move, it's got something creepy and freakish.
That's what he means by believability. That's a believability challenge. Yeah, that's a believability challenge.
I thought that was a quiz show with Ben McGaskill. Ben McGaskill, and fucking hell, showing my age there. Jeremy Paxman.
Right.
I do apologize.
Good. Time to see.
It's been Paxman since about 2002, isn't it? Ben McGaskill must have been dead for at least.
I imagine.
Adam doesn't even know who Ben McGaskill is. McGaskill is.
It's not a name, is it?
Yeah. Paul Gascoigne's dead.
Time to see what you've been tweeting to
granddad.
At T3DOTCOM Duncan.
You kids. Got no respect. Last week we pretty much demanded some hate mail and said we got this. So my voice actually is going by the end of this program. Yes. Instead, we got this. Gecko, these podcast gubbins are rather good. 35 minutes is a sweet spot when driving to work. The guys at t3.com, you have yourself a new follower.
Hooray!
What an excellently, superbly observed comment.
Yes.
That was. Shall I read this one out as well?
Go on.
Okay, Sean Wilkes. Anyone investing 40 minutes, okay, not 35 minutes,
inflation,
listening, who tweets they hate the podcast, deserves slating, might explain... Loveliest.
I think he means love fest.
Oh yeah,
but it's come out as loveliest.
Might explain loveliest. It's such a nice way of putting it.
That must be an iPhone recorrect.
Yes, I think so.
Probably is.
Yeah, there we are.
Good gadget observation,
Adam.
Boy detective. I know how these things work.
But you don't even know who Ben McGaskill is.
Well, you know,
how can anyone take you seriously?
I was born in the '80s. Joseph LBC. No, Joseph LB Carter. Or LBC Arter.
It could be.
It could be either. Adds a question to his praise.
Oh, good.
Great podcast. Listen every week. My question to you is how many people download it every week? Just curious. 7.
Somebody looked into this about a year ago and it was 60,000 in a month.
Which is a lot, really.
That's all right, actually. That's more than I thought.
60,000 a month, so divide that to find a weekly total. But it is...
Presumably it's the same people every week, though, so that would be 15,000.
Is it hard to track because you can... Obviously, you can download it, but you can also stream it from T3.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, to this day, as with most things to do with the IT around this program, I have no idea where that figure came from, how it was arrived at. But as it's quite a large figure, I'm more than happy to go along. Yeah.
How do you hack, Duncan? How do you hack into that?
Good, okay. Well, there's obviously a lot
you
of
need
you listening.
An electronic Jenny.
How did one become a hacker?
Big the return of Big Pinos. David Lowe. Loved the Songify ending to last week's podcast. Maybe you can redo all your jingles with it. Well, it would be a lot cheaper, David, actually.
It's a good thing that true. He pointed that out, because we didn't, did we? We just used it without...
No, we did say we did reset. We said that Songify. Yep.
Oh, I do apologise.
Yeah, no, don't you worry. Yeah, a lot of people, there was a lot of love for that little Songify moment at the end of the last week's podcast. We'll get on a bit more about that. Jack Lyon on the Facebook group, enjoying the podcast immensely. If that's how you spell it. I think he means if that's how you spell immensely. Waiting to hear my name on Friday's broadcast. Keep up the good work. Well, Jack, that is how you spell immensely. Unfortunately, you've used commas where you should have used full stops, and you've omitted the apostrophe from Friday's. So I'm afraid that's a B-.
Well, I think the commas were all right, actually.
Well...
There wouldn't be my choice of punctuation.
I'm a bit of a stickler for sentence structure.
Well, maybe he talks like that.
Well, maybe.
Very
anyway,
breathless.
What have we got for our gadget of the week?
Well...
Go on.
It's been it's been said that...
what is that?
PMPs...
are dead.
There's no market left for PMPs, and you know, Apple might get rid of the iPod, whatever. But... yeah, look at that. It's
Philips.
The Philips Go Gear. Oh, the battery's flat. The Philips Go Gear Muse 3.
Let's have a look at this thing then. So, who's going to buy this? This is. It looks a bit like a kind of an Android.
It looks like an HTC Hero.
Yes, yeah, but it's white and silver.
I think it takes its cues from various places design wise. And I think it's aimed at people who shop at Currys.digital, no offence, and Tesco, Georgia Asda, maybe.
I can see this in Argos quite happily.
The thing is, it looks quite like a Touch.
Yep.
But then it doesn't do any of the things that a Touch does. It is just a pure.
As you were saying earlier, you know, who would buy a Touch? But you'd buy it to get apps on it, you know, they are good.
No, you buy a phone for that.
This is purely...
That's my point about that. That yeah, this doesn't have any extras, which in a way, okay, it makes it more of a...
So do you like that? You stripped down?
Stripped down. I would like that, except the interface... Although it does practically nothing, the interface is somehow far more confusing than the touches, which does everything.
Oh.
What's the storage on one of them's?
You got a choice of 8 gigabytes or 16 gigabytes.
That's rubbish.
But, what? Well, it's all right, because there's also a micro SD slot.
Oh, well, that's great. Something.
Well, no, I think if you're going to be just, I am a music player.
I come from far away.
Well, I think that's the thing, because it's aimed...
Make it 100 billion gigabytes or something.
It's aimed kind of at the sort of lower, I wouldn't say the low end of the market, but like the lower middle end of the market. So it looks quite nice, but then you pick it up and it feels quite cheap and plasticky. The sound quality is all right, but they haven't gone down the audiophile route. Mm. And it is like, yeah, as you say, it is a pure music player, but it doesn't have that much storage. I mean, it kind of looks like a smartphone, but it's not running Android or anything like it.
I can't wait for the review.
Yeah, that pretty much is my review. There's nothing really wrong with it. I guess you'd say
it just seems about 5 years too late.
I'd say yeah, as a product, I would say 3 stars. Mm. As a thing you might or might not buy, I'd say somewhere between none and 1 star. Because why would you just not use your phone?
Although listening to music can kill your battery life, maybe it's nice to have a little dedicated player.
But I suppose if you're that bothered about it, get an iPod Classic. I mean,
well, no, I think if you're that bothered about it for 16 gig, get a Nano that you can clip onto yourself or something rather than something as big as your phone anyway.
Yeah, and this has got a touchscreen, but a touchscreen is no good. You see, so it's like it's sort of trying to kind of There's all manner of things that could be good about it, but it sort of fails.
Okay,
but as an actual music player, the music sounds all right, I guess.
Right,
high praise indeed.
Oh well, I think we nailed that. Right, a quick look at the new T3 with a woman
with some
diving gear. I don't believe she's actually going diving. I think she's just posing with all that stuff. What do you think?
Well, that's the cynic in you talking.
Yes, I suppose so. I'm getting old and cynical now. Right, 101 gadgets you can't live without. The cynic in me once again will say, I probably can live without all 101.
Actually, I need to explain this one. Sorry, I just had to break off there because I actually got cramp in my leg talking about being old. What the hell? It's actually 101 gadgets you can't live without, but you never knew it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because we've never hit on a way of making this into a cover line. Like 101 wacky gadgets, 101, well, not really wacky, 101 culty gadgets, 101 gadgets that we haven't had in the magazine before, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not like the hot 100, it's the interesting 101.
Okay. Yeah.
I think on the shelf, people like you can't live without, but in reality, it's more like, it's stuff that you never knew existed, but it's very cool. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, a couple of examples then. The Segway X2 Golf, which is kind of...
That's a Segway for golf.
It's a chunky Segway, basically, for the golf
course. I like this thing, which is the electrodes quality. That cure all pain.
Alpha Stim.
Come on.
Alpha Stim SCS, right? Yep. You hook it up to your earlobes.
Right.
With little clamps. Stay with me on this.
That sounds painful
Stay
in itself.
Stay with me. And you turn it on for 20 minutes at a go, I think. And then it cures all your ailments.
Yeah, if you're feeling a bit depressed,
and makes you
honestly
and
this
makes you
this
sterile.
Device. I mean, most of the things on this page look really quite sexy. There's a wetsuit that kind of makes you look a bit like Batman. Really, a very expensive looking
BMW bike,
designed by 3M.
I know where you're going with this. I know this. I know it's
and
not
then,
the most
and then in the corner
thing.
Is the Alpha Stim, which looks like something from the Innovations catalog.
Yeah, but it's not called the sexy 101. It's called the 101 things you couldn't live without, but you never knew.
I'm just saying everything else looks pretty cool on the page. Even the DeWalt drill.
Just
looks
call it
like,
a case
you know,
of function over form. Then.
Looks like yeah, something I mean, you could go to town with.
They may look very cool, but will they electrocute your depression away? No, I don't think they will.
Drive away the demons.
Righto, okay.
Through your earlobes.
All right, well, there's some nice things there. Right, what else? What else?
In this magazine?
Mm.
Electric Rolls Royce?
No.
Yeah.
Don't know what. Concept only.
You know,
hideously ugly, but
what
you know,
are you
going
to do? Make the heaviest car in the world, put an electric battery in it.
Do you know Michael Caine? The first car he bought was a Rolls Royce, and
not a lot of people.
He didn't.
Know that.
Yeah, not a lot of people know that. He was on the radio today. There's the only reason I know about it. His first car was a Rolls Royce, but he didn't have a driving license when he bought it, and when he tried to get insurance, it was more expensive than hiring a chauffeur, so he just hired a chauffeur.
Just hired a bloody chauffeur.
Yeah. Fair enough. So he didn't learn to drive for years.
We've also got quite a good feature, interesting feature about Anonymous, the hacking people.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, remember them?
Although, haven't they?
They used to be famous before LulzSec.
Yeah, they've been well overtaken by LulzSec.
Well, this is the difficulty of monthly magazines.
But there is a section in it about LulzSec. Oh,
there's a section in because we had to. Well, basically, when we commissioned that article, nobody had heard of LulzSec.
Right.
While it was being sort of worked on for the magazine, it was the only story in town, so hence we introduced that element to it. By the time we went to press, they'd ceased to exist. It's like the lifespan of a fruit fly.
It's hard,
and now they've come back.
It's hard keeping up with these
upstarts.
It's like pop stars, isn't it?
It's like trying to nail jelly to a wall, it is. No, it's like trying to draw a penis on an electronic bus stop.
Got a run-up of... I say DSLRs. They're not DSLRs necessarily anymore because they're called all sorts of things now.
They're system cameras.
Cameras.
SLT
cameras.
is what Sony calls that.
What take pictures.
Yeah, which is quite nice. Although the new Sony Alphas are coming out, I've been hearing very nice things about them. The A65 and the
A70. Are you trying to get one or something?
Do they take pictures as well?
They do take pictures. Yeah.
Impressive indeed.
I do want an A77. Impressive Sony, indeed. Please.
I've got to say, I know I say this every month, but I think this is possibly the best magazine that's ever been put together by humans.
Right.
So I'm
still a fan of Christmas 2008.
Surely it can't beat the sex issue.
It can't. Nothing can beat the sex issue.
Right.
Unless it's paying for it.
And what's on the subscribers cover? Do we know?
I do know.
Probably just
some. The hell is it?
Tits.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not tits.
Is it just a beach?
I don't think I've seen it. Lollipop, isn't it?
It's a lollipop.
Lollipop. Sexy lollipop.
It's okay. A sexy, sexy lollipop.
Sexy lollipop.
It's like Lil Wayne's lollipop.
Lucky you, subscribers. You know what I mean? Right. Today, Friday the 22nd, is the final day for you, the public, to vote your favourite gadgets into the shortlists for the T3 Awards.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Anne. I'm glad you said that.
Just explain the process.
I'm glad you didn't get it completely wrong, so we had to do a retake.
Look, you... Bell. you better explain because I got confused.
Make me turn this podcast around.
Yeah. Do you want nice Dan? What do you want? Not quite so nice Dan.
So, right, we're going from long list to short list.
Yes.
This stage basically, isn't it?
We're cutting,
yes, you've worked this all out, Dan.
The wheat from the chaff.
Okay, and we're going down to five in each category.
Yes.
We've cut the chaff from the wheat and now all that is left is the most
wheat.
Beautiful golden ears.
Some Weetabix.
Including possibly some new wheat that hadn't even started to germinate when this harvesting
process. We'll get on to that.
What an
initially
analogy.
Began.
A pretty massive response as well. Earlier this week, over 350,000 users had already cast their votes. That's just too many. I mean,
how many?
How many people are that interested in gadgets in the UK?
Loads.
It's just one person voting 350,000 times.
You're probably right. Okay, so
this is the this is the phony war. I mean, last year it was
once
the shortlist comes up,
that's when it explodes.
That's when it gets exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of these are extremely close, aren't they? There's four. So basically, five in each category go through. There are four votes separating two of the products that are on the cusp of getting to the shortlist for Computer of the Year. Phenomenal that after 350,000 people vote, it can come down to as little as four votes as to who's going through. Digital Media Service and App of the Year are even closer. Yeah. A single vote separating them. This is of earlier this week, so it'll all change by now.
How the hell did that happen?
It's phenomenal, isn't it? So,
are you sure this list you got wasn't just typed up by somebody who didn't know how to type?
This is I'm reliably informed by by none other source than T3.com. So you know,
like T3.com is a
the less said the better.
So what then about our own little awards campaign? Well, thank you to Steve Barker, Tom Holden Harrop, Ben Cochran, Paul Jarman, Richard Clark, Michael Saw, Marcus Hill, Cattle Gurin, Daniel Baker, Jack Lyon, Paul Michelando, Anton Nekhanko, I think, Paul
Probably.
Edwin, Elliot Cook, Stu Wicks, Edward Ted Tranter, Mike Burns, Richard Forrester, the famous David McClelland, Nigel Reed, Matthew Alner, James Forsey, Gareth Lomas, Bill Kelly, John Healy, and Christian Mackey. You've all signed up to the Duncan Bell for Gadget Personality of the Year Facebook group. this week.
I would discount Michael Saul from that list, given that he is the features writer for TT.com.
They all count. They all count.
Everybody's getting behind
and
me.
And therefore he is some way
biased.
Well,
the thing is, again, we're recording this now, but by the time most people listen to this, the shortlist, the results will be in. The shortlist will be in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. You see, this is what worries me, this particular stat, because in App of the Year, the fifth and sixth position, fifth being the crucial position, are tied on 1,066 votes apiece. So obviously, whatever's coming top in that group will have got thousands and thousands of votes. We need to get into that fifth place, okay? Now, we've got 160-odd members on the Facebook group. If Gadget Personality Year is going the same way as App of the Year, we're talking, you know, we need four figures make it in.
But I just can't imagine that many people that bothered to vote on that on this one.
I thought you were going to suggest a radical turnaround and we start trying to get Duncan as App of the Year.
Well, that too. But yeah, you know, so I'm fearing the worst here because, you know, we've got a great little campaign going, a lovely group community.
Yeah, I think that's the main
but
thing.
I don't know whether we've got enough to get Duncan in there.
I've got to be quite honest, although I've happily played along with this because my ego always likes a nice massage. I think the possibility of somebody who actually works for T3 winning
the T3's own awards,
deciding to enter themselves. Well, I didn't even decide to enter myself. You decided to enter me.
What you're saying, Duncan, might
smack of nepotism to
We need to find another awards that we can hijack. Perhaps something smaller, something we can, you know, to we take on the T3 awards.
Let's go for the BAFTAs or something.
Something like that.
Well, I am in the runnings for New Media Service of the Year, so I can...
you personally?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And you might get an Oscar for your...
I've had my own campaign.
Your role in Tintin might bring you recognition from the Academy.
Well, chat on the group this week. Georgina Makarov, love the podcast this week. Hilarious. Surely Duncan must win the Gadget Personality of the Year award after that pretty awesome warbling. Well, as we've discussed, Georgina, we're not so sure. There has, though, been some dissent. Duncan, I think you need to prepare yourself for this.
Yeah.
Michael Seaman. So, I posted a nice review of the podcast on iTunes, got a nice mention on said podcast. I then voted for Duncan in the T3 Facebook campaign, and apparently my surname is amusing now. I would like to change my vote to Dan for Gadget Personality. I'm going to create Vote Dan Maudsley, a Vote Dan Maudsley poster, and I'll double... this is where it gets nasty. I'll double the points awarded for running over Duncan.
This is the... down the hosts and run them over
run
game.
Them over game. Yes, Duncan is now a marked man.
I'll tell you another thing, though, about this, the whole Facebook group thing. I think people... Well, I think some people think that by joining the Facebook group, that means they voted for me.
Oh, no. That would be... No, you do... We have explained thoroughly. You need to go to awards.t3.com.
You know what people are like.
I know what Lord Gunn is like. I'm a busy man lording it up in the House of Lords. So I only got round to listening to last week's podcast last night. And find my name is also on the end of a Duncan rant. I agree with Mr. Seaman and also retract my vote for Duncan. Give it to Dan for Gadget Personality of the Year, particularly for some tremendous brown nosing. Vote Dan. You suggested he wasn't, an
really
actual
a lord.
Peer.
What did I say about Michael Seaman?
You used his name in vain.
Oh, okay.
Well, this has understandably caused some feather ruffling on the group. So to restore calm, the ever reliable Leon Fenner, perhaps Duncan Dan could be a duo, the Ant and Deck of the tech world. although, as Yasser Charisma rightly points out, poor Ree will feel left out. How about a vote for all three as they complement each other quite well?
Quite well.
And
thanks, mate.
Adam, just close your ears for this. The podcast is not the same if one of them is missing.
Wow.
So that's nice.
Wow. Can I... I have a fan. There was a fan, wasn't there? Like
there was, yeah.
You've got loads of fans, Adam.
You can find out today on T3.com if Duncan makes it. We're worried. But that is about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.